Holy and gracious God, this week we pause to ask your blessing upon these 14 confirmands who confess their faith today. This is an important rite of passage where we welcome them with open arms as adult members of this congregation. And while we cannot pray for them lives free from pain and disappointment, we do pray for them that their lives may be joined to a Christian community of faith their whole lives long, so they can face whatever comes their way. This morning I pray, O God, that you might pour through me the gift of preaching, that these ordinary words might be transformed by your grace to speak to us and give life to us so that we can see the vision that you have for our lives. And we know that they will, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I think of my calling as a minister, I believe it is to shape and mold lifelong Christians. That's it. Shape and mold lifelong Christians. I've always thought of my audience as being on the younger side, as in 18 and under, no offense. But the experience I've had in the past 6 months as the interim head of staff has taught me that adults are quite enjoyable to teach and encourage as well. This morning we have a baptism, confirmation ceremony, and communion, and I'm going to preach a shorter than usual sermon. No hoorays from the first row. But it will be packed tightly, so stay with me. We begin with a question that I know none of you would dare to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Can you be a good Christian without going to church? I'm going to answer that question with another question. Can you do algebra without knowing multiplication, division, addition, or subtraction? Let's talk one more time about what you need to do to maintain spiritual fitness. Number one, worship. Worship is essential. In 1646, the Westminster Confession of Faith was written. The first question, what is the chief end of man, which in modern language would translate to, what is the purpose of life? The answer is, the chief end of humanity is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. Glorifying God, of course, begins with worship, because worship resets our internal clock. Worship is the time of the week, the only time of the week, when we come together as a community and we check in a very honest way, and say to ourselves and to those who know us best, this area over here is going really well, but these things over here aren't going so well. Somehow over here I'm stumped, or I really blew it. Worship is our time to quiet ourselves to the outside world, to turn off our phones, our emails, our to-do lists, and get centered on God. What does this do? What does this really do for us? It helps us develop a deep keel against the storms of life. I like to think that the sermon is what speaks to people when they come to church, but after 20 years of preaching, I know that's not the case. I'm not offended. Oftentimes at coffee hour, people will say to me, during the prelude, God spoke to me, or during that time when they light the candles or put the pew cards, or even better, when somebody quotes my sermon back to me and I think to myself, I never said that. I didn't say anything like that. I go and check the manuscript and it's nowhere in there. But this isn't my time with God alone. This is your time. And if this is what God is speaking to you and how God is interacting with you, this is your time to listen for the still small voice. Worship is also one of the only chances we get for the whole week to hear God's vision for our lives. Not just what the world is supposed to be, but how I'm supposed to be in the world. Following Jesus is hard enough, but it's close to impossible if you don't go to church. So the first and important step in your physical fitness, in your spiritual fitness, is worship. Number two, fellowship. The first day of class, you thought I was crazy that we spent 30 minutes catching up, eating pizza, playing basketball. But several classes in, you'd made friends. You checked in. This was one of your favorite parts of our class. Fellowship is critical in the Christian life. Marla Paul, Chicago Tribune columnist, confessed in print a few years ago, "I am lonely. How did it happen? I'm 42 years old and I don't have enough friends." After that, everywhere she went, people came up to her and said, "Me too." CEOs and homemakers, rich and poor, and everyone in between all asked the same question. Why is it so hard to make good friends? Why is it so hard to find people with whom I can really share my life and be true and honest? If loneliness is common among women, it's an epidemic among men. According to one survey, 90% of the male population has just one friend. Mother Teresa said, "Loneliness is the leprosy of modern society." And if you think loneliness is bad when things are going well, what happens when your life falls apart? My mother loved to give parties. She had lots of great friends. She threw bridal showers, high school parties, our annual Christmas party, where I think the whole neighborhood and most everyone I could think of came. Our entire first floor was filled with people. But when my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, when her hair came out, when she wore a wig and she felt down some of the time and needed rides to and from chemotherapy, one friend and church. The deacons at the church visited her often. They didn't say much. They brought a book. They didn't ask. They just were there. Church is the family you have that wraps its loving arms around you when things do go wrong. So, confirmation class of 2018, after 23 confirmation classes, which began with pizza, basketball, and time to catch up, I hope you know the value of friendship. Ask almost anyone in this congregation who's been here for 10, 20, 30, or 40 years. I will not single you out if you've been here for more than 40 years. Many of their closest friends are church friends. Invest heavily in your friendships here. You will never regret it. Number three, mission. The third component of a healthy spiritual life is mission. So many studies on the value of community service, mission learning. I will name just a few here. Those who engage in mission are more likely to treat other people kindly, to help each other, to care about doing their best. They report increased self-esteem, fewer behavioral problems, higher test scores, higher grades. They have exposure to diversity, multiculturalism, different ways of thinking. They are forced to think on their feet, think outside the box, be problem solvers. People who do mission enjoy teamwork, are good at hard work, have compassion, kindness, and gratitude. Theodore Roosevelt, 26th President of the United States from 1901 to 1909, said, "Comparison is the thief of joy," which means if you constantly compare yourself to those in this town who have more, you will never be happy. True happiness, contentment, and joy comes from not looking up the ladder, but looking down. Reaching out to those below you and giving a helping hand, because that is what Jesus Christ did, and that is how we meet Christ. Number four, if I could pray just one thing, it would be this, that you would pray daily. We have been working on prayer in class. hoping that you are working on that at home as well. If you would do one thing to further your spiritual life, it would be to pray daily. Prayer is a lifeline to God. And while it feels maybe unnatural to pray in the beginning, your relationship with God will be the greatest relationship you will ever cultivate. I like to think of praying as something I do in the morning and something I do before bed. In the morning, I look ahead and think about all the things that I'm going to face that day. What am I excited about? What am I not so excited about? And at the end of the day, I rewind a tape and just say, how did it go? How were the things that happened during my day? Did anything go well? Did anything not go well? Jesus was so natural at prayer. Just to watch him and to read about him in the Gospels is to watch someone who is constantly in touch with God. So make time to pray daily. Can you be a good Christian without going to church? Can you do algebra without knowing multiplication? Come to church. Make worship a priority. Nurture the friendships you have here. And be a regular participant in mission. And finally, pray. Pray every day. It will be your lifeline to God. Through prayer, God will show you the person you are meant to be, the person you most want to be. So today we welcome you with open arms as full members of this church. May everything you say and do be done to the glory of God Almighty. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.